Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arkin and Andy Hart. Nice to have you with us today. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Want to say thanks to Adam Schefter. If you missed any part of that interview, we're going to replay it later on in the 5 o'clock hour for you. As Schefter had a lot to say about his sex life, along with T. Higgins potentially being available. I thought that was the best T. Higgins answer anyone's given so far that we've asked about that entire topic. And we've asked him about it before.
He put you to rest. Your fear that they're going to re-sign him. He's like, he's a free agent. He's gone.
He's walking.
Anybody who writes a check is getting T. Higgins.
That was, hearing that from him, reassuring. Because I always assume now that any good wide receiver, except for... what's his name? Calvin...
Ridley?
Ridley, yeah, right. Everybody except for Ridley gets re-signed. Like, basically, that's how it goes. Or Hollywood Brown, or, you know, guys of that level. And T. Higgins, I would consider a level up from Ridley and Brown and all those guys. And Schefter said it definitively. He didn't hem and haw. He said they can't afford him. They can't tag him. They can't afford him. They're going to, assuming this is what he means, is that they're going to pay Chase the whole boatload of money, which they kind of have to now, the way that Chase is playing. You can't let him walk. And if it's got to be one or the other, you know, Sophie's choice isn't that tough. You go with Chase and you tell Higgins goodbye, and then you draft another wide receiver and you hope you strike gold there with Joe Burrow. But I think that honestly, that was the best part of the interview, I think. If you're a Patriots fan, you hear that, you got to be feeling good.
Yeah.
Now they just got to actually spend the money on it.
Now I just need to rewind and go back to the original Andy Hart plan.
Right.
The T. Higgins plan that I've been touting for 2 years now. And I will be honest, all the people on the text line when I bring up T. Higgins that love to say injury, 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 he does get banged up a lot. Even the other night, he left and they were looking at, I think, his lower back or something. Then he came back and he played. That is one thing, because Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, I don't want to jinx them, but aren't they always healthy? I feel like those guys are almost always healthy.
Yeah, I don't know. Higgins is what, like 6'5"? Like, I mean, big, tall receivers, I feel like get hurt all the time. So, you know, I mean,
aging receivers, like the back end of a 4 or 5 year contract.
Ja'Marr Chase,
he was
his
hurt last
second year, missed 5 games.
Okay.
And last year played in 16. And this year he's played in all 11. So he missed one game last year. He missed 5 the year before. or maybe it was four because it was the shorter season. Yeah, and excuse me. He's mostly healthy, I would say. Yeah, it's not like he's, what? And a little something there. A little something in my
nose. A little something?
A little something, something.
The whole world picked up a little something, something there.
Excuse me.
If you can get sick over radio waves, the whole world just got sick.
I apologize. It's been a rough month.
You have the worst immune system on the planet.
I didn't used to.
No, you have a kid now.
I used to never, ever get sick, ever.
Yeah, but you have a kid who brings home illness every day.
I'm constantly sick now.
Yeah.
Like, all the time. I can't. I'm constantly blowing my nose. I'm constantly hacking up lungs. You know
what it is. Oh, I know.
It's disgusting. Like, I don't know what to do.
The only thing I feel good about is I think it's going to improve my system.
It might,
having to deal with you every day, I think I'm going to be, like, strung like bull, run through wall now.
Could be.
Or I'll be sick a lot.
Yeah.
The other.
And I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Either I have to, I may have to just sell my son on the black market is what's going to happen here. Because
speaking of wives calling.
Unsustainable. Like, I can't, you know what I mean? Like, what
is
am I supposed to do here? He's like, you know, he's like kid sick all the time, right? Like, that's basically what it is. And I didn't really used to get sick very often.
I think
this
is a you issue.
Hardly ever at all.
Maybe you need to do some of the, what do they say, echinacea?
What the hell
is
that?
One of the things is like a supplement that helps your immune system.
I'm not familiar.
Or vitamin C.
What's that thing where you pour the water up your nose?
Oh, the Nelly pot?
Neti pot. Yeah.
Not the Nelly pot.
The Nelly pot.
From St. Louis.
I could, yeah. Nelly and the St. Lunatics pot.
Wow, that was impressive, Andy.
How about that?
He knew where Nelly was from.
I don't appreciate being mocked for my music background or lack thereof.
I was genuinely impressed.
You people. Earlier, you were making fun of me, said, well, you never heard of that. It was in the 90s. You were listening to George Strait or something.
No, Garth Brooks.
Garth Brooks.
Or his, who's Garth Brooks' alter ego?
Oh, that was bad.
Chris Gaines?
Yeah,
he was like
bad.
A rocker. And
that
like,
was bad.
Yeah, that emo haircut.
He went through an era. That wasn't a good era.
That was pretty funny.
What the hell's Scal?
I don't know. Scal's just blowing us off, I guess.
Yeah, I texted him. I'm trying to call him now. It's just going right to voicemail. Well, I don't know if he's upset that we put him on the spot last week with the perk thing. I don't know.
That was like two. That was weeks ago.
Oh, it was 2 weeks ago.
Andy wasn't upset because
he
opened up like a freaking
shut down.
Date.
Yeah, he had a lot to say about that. I think he appreciated the platform to speak on that.
I agree.
And we gave it to him, so I shouldn't be blowing us off. I don't think.
Maybe he's negotiating a last minute trip to the White House.
That could be
bitching a lot about that in the second quarter.
That's true.
Last
night. He had a lot to say about that. I guess Scal's not going to the White House. What did he say? He said that he initially thought he wasn't invited,
and then he said,
no, you are?
No. He was initially told, no,
right.
You're not invited.
You're not that's what
and
I
he
said.
Said it wasn't like a maybe no or a soft no. It was like a no. Mm-hmm. You're not making the cut. You're not making the list. Then they circled back around, which I'm assuming some people who were supposed to go ahead of him aren't going or couldn't go, whatever. So there were opportunities to
Why
go.
Why would they tell him no? He's a team broadcasting.
I don't know. Does Drew Carter get to go?
Probably. Didn't you go to the White House?
Yes. Why'd you say it like that?
Because you're not a team broadcaster. You're someone who...
I was a team reporter.
Okay, he's the team broadcaster.
I carried Patriots.com and Patriots Football Weekly.
Was Zolak there?
Chubby Paul Perillo. I had to carry him for a decade.
Did you carry him around the White House?
He's not chubby anymore either. He's lost a lot of weight. He's looking good, Paul.
Good
Sorry
for him.
That
hey, good for you,
radio.
Paul. Yeah, I saw Paul the other day.
He's looking good.
Chubby. He's looking svelte.
Did it his own way.
Yeah.
Like
with,
a man.
With Wegovy, right? Or,
I don't know what. No, I don't think so. No, I think, honestly, just maybe cut out an occasional pepperoni calzone that he used to have every day for lunch or Italian sub. You know, he liked to eat and maybe a few less Pepsis or whatever.
Oh, simple. Yeah, you were telling me he was, like, chugging 2 liters.
Oh,
there,
my
right?
God. He drinks
big soda
drinks like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
So,
you know what I wanted to ask Scal about? Did you see his reaction when Tatum hit the game winner?
I did not.
He
no,
didn't,
what
he
reaction?
Didn't react. He had no reaction whatsoever. Drew Carter's next to him doing backflips, and Scalabrine is sitting there like he's waiting for the bus. Like, the only time I've ever seen that type of reaction to a buzzer-beater game winner was, I don't know if you'd remember this, but Larry Bird was coaching the Pacers, and they were playing the Bulls, I think, in the playoffs.
No
Reggie
shot.
Miller hits a three to beat the Bulls. The Bulls would go on to win the series, but Miller hits a three to win the game, and he's jumping around in a circle. He's going crazy. They zoom in on Bird, and his face does not change. Just standing there, just, meep, ball went in, okay. Very good.
Little Belichickian.
Let's go. Yeah, let's go home. Even Belichick. I mean, I've seen Belichick run onto the field, jumping up and down, screaming and yelling after Vinatieri made a kick or something. You know, like this was. It wasn't even that he reacted weirdly. It was that he didn't react at all. It was like he didn't even see it. If you watch the video of it, it's pretty wild. And listen,
stoic.
I have a lot of respect for that. Not getting caught up in the moment, being like, oh, still got a job to do. Not going to yell and scream. It's the Raptors. It's November. You know, we still got a lot of games to go here. I do have some respect for that. And also, he was letting Drew have his moment with the buzzer beater. But You would have thought nothing happened based on his reaction.
Maybe he missed it or something.
Nah, I think he saw it.
Oh, right there. We're getting it on the Twitch stream.
Yeah, look.
He looks angry.
Look at everybody. And he's just saying he's looking. He's like, yep, okay. Guess it went in.
He's got a scowl on
his face. No reaction whatsoever. Crazy.
Wait, do they have a camera on them at all time?
Don't think so.
Because, I mean, there's obviously a camera.
There's a camera on them there.
Right there.
At a pretty important point in the game.
I wonder
if
it's one of these. Like a little auto cam that's... For these types of moments?
It's right in their face.
Yeah, it seems annoying.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I guess we're not getting scaled.
Just an update off of the Twitch chat for you. Breath work, cold showers, and you'll never get sick.
Cold showers?
That's what he said.
Or cold showers, I feel like you will get sick. Right, isn't that?
I think
sick?
That's an old wise tale.
Taking a cold shower?
Well, if the Red Sox land Soto, he'll be doing a cold plunge in the Revere Beach.
That's
so.
True. That's true. And if we keep interviewing Adam Schefter about his love life, I'll need to take some cold showers. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's...
Yeah, we should update that. For anybody that came late, yes, you can use the Odyssey app. It has a rewind feature. You can go back and listen. Please do. We will also be replaying Adam Schefter in the 5 o'clock hour. But if you kind of came in late, he was not talking about smashing his wife, as somebody put it on the text line.
Easy.
He was talking pre-wife, and I think that's why the wife isn't overly happy right now that he brought his premarital sex life to the airwaves.
I immediately, when I heard that, went on to check when he got married, and then to check when that guy got busted with the PEDs, just to be like, he couldn't have. No, there's no way he would have done that. And I wonder, you know... Wonder about that Glazer story too. You know?
I definitely wonder about that.
When that'll when? What's
Doesn't
the timeline
he date
on that?
Twins.
Jay Glazer.
Yeah,
he dates both two twins.
At least one of them. They're always with him.
Really?
At least one of them.
No, you guys haven't
you
seen. That
you lose track after a while. You're like, eh, one of you. I don't know which one. I did not know that. No, good for him.
Girlfriend.
And twins.
Yeah,
love those old Coors Light commercials.
Jay Glazer girlfriend. So, yeah, oh, I guess Rosie, what the hell's her name?
I don't know.
But she's a twin. She's definitely a twin. Apparently, he just dates one of them, but they're always together.
Well, that's nice.
I'm married to a twin.
A thruple.
A what?
They're a thruple.
Identical twin, Andy?
Yes.
Wow.
Indeed.
And you can tell them apart?
Yes.
I have neighbors.
Is the sister also married to a short guy?
I mean, that was a bit of a reach. That was a bit of a reach, no?
Why?
Like, you kind of went around Grandma's block and back around. Then you can see Jay Glazer's wife was on Twitch. That was a bit of a reach there.
Kind of was.
That wasn't your best work.
No, but, you know.
What'd you say?
I am curious. Maybe they have a type.
I have neighbors, so I've been in my apartment for 10 years. And
doesn't everybody have neighbors? That was the weirdest start to a story.
My neighbor, they're twins. So my neighbor has two daughters, and they're identical twins.
And
to this day, I still can't tell them apart.
Do they do anything to dress them differently, or do they dress them the same? Like, how do they handle that?
They do, not like identical, but yes, you can tell they're twin, like they similar. Like they coordinate, I guess you would say. So not like the identical same outfit, but they certainly like will match. But and
my wife actually has a shirt from when she was a kid. She has it hanging in our bedroom that says, I'm not going to give her name on the air, but I'm blah blah blah. And they had shirts that named them basically so the parents could tell them apart.
Yeah, they just graduated BU shout out my neighbors.
People are suggesting that Scal lost a bet and that's why he reacted that way. You know, it's not a terrible theory. That's the theory I had about Razor and the Patriots. Remember that? When he's like, yeah, the Patriots, no one's watching them on Sunday. Those jerks.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, that sounds like a guy who lost a bet on the Patriots.
And in this day and age, it's very plausible.
Yeah, Scal betting against the Celtics. I'm not denying it. I'm not saying it happened.
But is he betting against the Celtics
if he's mad about it, buzzer
beater? No, but he takes the points. You're not betting against the Celtics. You just think it's going to be a close game. You take the points. You're happy they win, and you're happy you win your bet.
Well, if he bet on the Celtics, they were probably big favorites against the Raptors, so... He was already mad. No matter what happened at the end of that game, he was going to be mad about it, right?
I mean, the points can jumble it up, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pete Rose, there's always some gray area here.
Yeah, I'd imagine. Anyway, Scal was supposed to talk
to us. Screw you, Scal!
And he's not. He's blowing us off. So maybe
That's
we'll hear from him later on in the show. Maybe we won't. I don't know. Couldn't tell you. You have to ask Scal about that one. Anyways, Jerod Mayo spoke to the media today. Says he's still learning how to be a head coach. We'll talk about this matchup with the Miami Dolphins, things that Mayo and Drake may have learned about the Dolphins in their first matchup, and what, Andy?
And I am going to tell you the subtle cheap shot that Jerod Mayo took at Bill Belichick in his press conference today.
That is a big market long tease right there. All right, here's Stiz with what's trending. And then
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're right back. WEEI Afternoons. It's Christian Arcand. It's Andy Hart. And we're joined now on the hotline by Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston, Boston Celtics broadcast. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov. It's fast, it's easy, and it's free. Now, Scal, I know there was a big game last night, and we do want to talk about that, but I wanted to play that clip first because you've probably seen the video circulating. You were there and you lived it. No reaction from you to that buzzer beater. It was similar, and I was just talking about this, to when Larry Bird was coaching the Pacers and Miller hit that big three to beat the Bulls in the playoffs, and Bird was just sitting there stone-faced. Now, there's a lot of theories as to why you had the reaction or lack of reaction that you did. I want to hear it from the horse's mouth. What was going through your mind as Tatum hit that shot?
So on my morning show, anyways, how you guys doing this
Hello,
week?
Scal.
On my morning show, we have a thing called Battle of the Broadcasters. So we play all of the calls from the night before. Like, you know, the big shots. So you hear the devastation in the voice of the opponent and the jubilation of the home team and all that stuff, right? So I've heard, like, plenty of these. And most of the time, like, I'm all in, right? Like, I'm going crazy, and it's the second quarter and a run and all that stuff. But I've seen a lot of bad calls that kind of, like, take over the moment. We have an amazing director who does, you know, great imaging of the crowd, and they turn up the mics and all that stuff. So my whole thing is, like, do it right. And as much as emotion as I could feel during that time, the biggest thing is, like, that's not my moment. That's Tatum's moment. I'm not trying to, like, squash that. And if you listen to some of the, like, the best guys, not like the play-by-play guys, just their job to make that call. The analysts usually lay out. So my reaction is just to sit back, lay out. And that's why I got to keep it together during that time, because I feel like I have a job to do at that point. And it's not just about, like, my celebration.
So what was your reaction last night when Jason Tatum and the Celtics handled their business against a previously undefeated Cavs team?
Yeah, I mean, we played great. Al Horford was great, and you could tell, like, when Al Horford, so we had 2 days off game, 2 days off, now Cavs game, now we have another 2 days off. Man, the guy looks like a superhero right now, and I just think, so you just unfold the whole thing, you know, like, it's a big advantage for us going into this game. A lot of their defensive players out, you know, like Isaac Okoro, Dean Wade, like, they're, like, kind of their bruising guys that really kind of, like, physical defenders. So we had a big advantage. I know, like, the Stars were playing, but, like, those guys make a big difference for that team, especially with us, how we kind of use that killer whale offense to hunt matchups. So I look at it like this. Like we played great. The Cavs will play better, and we play them again for I think a normal game, not an NBA Cup game, but in Cleveland, not too far away, maybe a week, 2 weeks away. I think it'll be a much different game. I think those guys will fight, even though I just love the way that we played in that game last night.
Did you think that was Tatum's best game of the season?
No, I thought the Brooklyn game was, from the standpoint of we started out a little bit shaky. I thought it was his best defense and rebounding game. Holy smokes, man, because we needed the rebound against those guys. Mobley's a beast. Allen's a beast. Tatum was a man's man on the glass. So I thought it was his best rebounding game. But the Brooklyn game, he was just in a zone, like a crazy zone where we needed him to dominate because, you know, Brooklyn got off to that really good start. I think we were on a back-to-back that night, so we needed more from him. So I thought that probably was his best basketball game.
Did you think he was going to get whistled for a flagrant when he decked Mitchell at the end there? Because I definitely was worried about that.
If you're watching, like, I watched all league, like the league pass and everything. Like, they're, like, not going to the replay. I think there's a big concern about the timing of these games and how long they're taking. So they're not, they don't want to start going down the road of replays. So, I mean, there was, it's not like he hit him in the face, like with his hand reaching for the ball. It was like kind of like a shoulder shot. He was going for the ball. He missed. It is what it is. I didn't think they were going to go to and review that.
Watching that little buddy comedy at the podium between Tatum and White last night post game made me wonder, is this team significantly closer or tighter than even last year's team? It seems like the dynamic last year, we talked a lot about what Porzingis brought to the team and some of that stuff.
Yeah.
But how tight is this team right now?
Yeah, I think like winning a championship takes that pressure off of a lot of people, Tatum and Brown in particular. Like, you know, in Boston, you got to win, right? If they didn't win last year, can you imagine what this season would have been like? And you get that little pressure, and you just feel confident, you know, you did it, you know, like, so all that. I think, you know, things will ramp up again, but this team seems super connected. And the one thing, so we were talking about this on the show this morning, is Tatum and Brown, they've been in a ton of big games. And, you know, Al Horford obviously been in a ton of big games. And, you can go down the list with this team. They've been in a ton of big games. But they put their energy towards the right stuff. Like Tatum last night on the glass. Like, everyone thinks, oh, man, big game. Got to score 30 tonight. Got to have a big offensive game. I just don't feel like the Celtics feel like that. I think they're like, we got to make the right play, but we got to guard, we got to rebound. And that's the mindset of champions. You know, we all get caught up in the shot making and the stats and the points and all that. But winning basketball games is way more defense and rebounding than anybody wants to talk about. And it's not sexy, you know. It's just like, I'm sure, like, when football games are won, they're one on the line, and everyone talks about the receiver, the quarterback, this and that, but it's probably mostly the trenches, right? Mm. That's how basketball is. It's defense. Are you defending the paint? We did a fine job. We weren't phenomenal in the paint, but we guarded the ball, and I thought we rebounded really well. Like that seems to be a menace on the glass, especially with their rotations and stuff. We just rebounded so well yesterday.
Along those same lines, and it's a similar answer, I'm guessing, winning a title, taking pressure off, but Joe Mazzulla has always seemed comfortable in his own skin, but he seems even more comfortable now. Things I see, things I hear, answers. He just seems like he's really hit his stride. What is your sort of perception of how he's handled this new season as he said, the hunted?
Yeah, I don't buy into all that kind of stuff, like hunted hunter, bullseye, front, back, forehead. You know, I don't buy into all that stuff. I do think you're exactly right about, like, this more comfortable with his quirkiness, right?
Yep.
Like, he tried stuff his first year, and then, like, you know, whatever. Remember Marcus Smart's, like, you know, like, insignificant comment? Joe's been getting a lot of heat, deservingly so. You know, like,
yep.
I just think, like, he's beyond all that stuff right now. And, you know, he's going to challenge these guys in different ways. And, you know, I think our biggest thing is just, like, not getting up for big games. Like we are not getting up for, like, the middle-of-the-road games, the Toronto's of the world, right? Like, that's, like, our biggest challenge right now. And, you know, I don't know if a coach is going to be, you know, like, really angry and, like, come on, guys, we got to do better in these sorry games. You know, I think it's more about, like, execution, like, consistency, doing the right thing. I think he picks and chooses his battles really well. And I think he's getting better at that now because he just has more experience and he knows the difference between what matters and what doesn't matter.
We're talking with Brian Scalabrine. Scal, of the 15 teams in the Eastern Conference, 11 of them currently are under 500. What do you attribute that to? And do some of these teams, like the Sixers, who I know are in the middle of a lot of turmoil right now, the Bucks have been underachieving, among several others. Which of those teams do you think are going to snap out of it, and which ones do you think will not?
I mean, I don't see Philly doing anything different. Like, I don't think Embiid's a good player anymore. I don't know what happened to him. But he was 2 years ago, he's MVP of the league, and now, you know, Olympian, and he has $300 million coming to him. He looks awful. The Bucks play too slow. They look old. But you know, they're only a couple games back. So it's not like they can win four games in a row and all of a sudden be like a, you know, seventh seed or an eighth seed or something like that. But I don't see those teams. Here's what I do see. Let's talk about the teams I think are good, right? I think obviously Cleveland's really good, and I think Orlando is really good. I think that those two teams could be a real challenge in the playoffs because of their physicality, right? Like, we didn't see the full Cleveland Cavalier team yesterday. I think they're much more physical than that. And then we haven't really got a chance to see Orlando yet. They're doing pretty well without Paolo Banchero. They're just going to get better. I don't know if any of those teams, like something drastic had to happen for that those teams to beat us, but I think both those teams are fun to watch and they're really good. Now, the West, on the other hand, has a lot of good teams. Even teams that aren't winning are good out there. It's like that conference is really deep.
Cada has had his moments this year, some lobs, some fun games. Seemed like last night was a game some of his warts got exposed. What did you think of his game and what it might mean moving forward?
Well, so those two guys, are hard to guard, right? Like Garland and Mitchell, and they did a good job of they had their own version of their killer whale offense. And, Nimi's a beast at the rim. And Carlisle picked up on this right away. Like, he kept moving Nimi away from the basket, getting him into coverage away from the basket. But when he's at the rim, he's a real problem for the NBA. So, if you watch, I don't know if you guys watch Memphis, Zach Edey's kind of going through the same thing. Like, people are trying to move him to the perimeter.
Yep.
You know, he's got to get his timing down. You know, like, I think he'll get better. He improved a lot. But, that's a hard thing for a lot of bigs. Is it a problem for us if Porzingis comes back? I'm not sure. But, I think that's probably his one weakness. And, I didn't want to murder him so bad yesterday, but it was, like, clear as day. Like the way that they were moving him around the court, it was really hard for him to guard at that point. But coaching staff will take, they'll figure it out, and I think he'll work, man. Like, aspirations to do more than just be like a 13th man on a team.
You did. You made me laugh out. He cannot play in this game, or say it was like a Tommy Heinsohn moment or something. It was great.
It's not like I didn't see the obvious. Like, it was like, come on, coach. And then, you know what's amazing? I didn't ask Joe this, but he went back to him. And there was that minute where Al Horford needed a break. He went back. I thought he was done. And so I gave him credit, man. Like, they went back to Nimi and I didn't think he was awful. I think the biggest matchup problem with him was Mitchell, right? And so when Mitchell was off the court, you might want to put Nimi in the game, like with him off the court. But good chess match yesterday. Two really good coaches. Yeah, yesterday was fun. Yesterday was really fun.
Porzingis eyeing a comeback here as he keeps seeing him out there shooting and getting back into the swing of things. Obviously, he's going to give a big boost to this roster when he gets back. How big do you think it's going to be, and what's this going to mean for Al Horford's minutes? I know he's already not playing back-to-backs and things like that, but he's playing really well right now. So how are they going to manage that when he's ready to come back?
Yeah, just – I don't know how they're going to handle the Porzingis stuff. I think we'll figure that out when he does. Al Horford, obviously, if you just look at the way he's played with these rest games, with the 2 days off, he's amazing. So obviously, more rest for Al is better. It's good. It would be good. It's not about like the conditioning or anything like that at this point, or injury healing. It's about getting his body ready to sustain NBA impact, right? And him running around the court shooting threes is awesome, but ultimately it's about bracing yourself, right? And I don't know when they get used to that or when he does that or first time he bodies up a guy, but when that does come, it's going to be I'll be holding my breath a little bit. But, yeah, I think they know what they're doing. They'll bring him back, and I think obviously be a major boost to what we're doing.
So now a couple games into the cup here, win, loss, this thing. What's your perception on how much they care about that at all on the Celtics, top of the rotation or bottom either?
I think they do, and I think they're looking out for the people that work for the Celtics. I think like these guys like live and die with this team, right? Like they work on the players at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, shoot with them, work on their game. Like there's so many people that work behind the scenes and. It's significant for them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think no one's turning down the money, but I wouldn't be surprised if some of the top dogs just throw their check into the pot for all the people that help. So I think, what's better than like making a selfless act about, can you imagine just if you're making, I don't know, 200 grand and you get 200 grand, it's like life change. That could be college for your kids, like just overnight. So I think that their motivation is, like the other people in the organization, there's a lot of them that would that money could really help them.
All right, we'll leave it right
Wait,
there.
Real quick, sorry.
All right, okay.
One last thing I had to ask you about because you brought it up, I think, in the second quarter last night. How do you feel about being B-listed for the White House?
Oh, apparently? Right. Yes, of course.
No, I got invited. I got invited late.
Yeah, you were B-list.
Did they not know who you were or something? Like, what happened there?
Yeah, Ian Eagle had a call the other day when Cam Thomas should have said. He was like, no, yes. That was by invitation. And you know what? It was a hard no. It was like, don't even ask. You can't go. And I was like, okay. So, like, I'm in New Hampshire right now watching a basketball game. So, like, I was like, I made other plans. What do you want me to say? So I've been telling this team I'm helping out coach. I've been telling them, you know, I passed up the White House to come here and watch you guys play.
So the team initially said hard no. That's crazy. Why
hard no?
Wow,
it wasn't even a maybe.
Who told you that, Megliola?
No, I mean I'm not gonna call anybody out, but okay. It was a hard no.
Now you know how Perk feels. You're
right.
Like with Perk. You're
exactly.
On the outside looking in.
Yeah, it was almost like that, but it wasn't me. I'm telling you, it wasn't me.
All right. Well, now he's not going anyway. So there you go, Brian Scalabrine. Thanks so much for the time. Nice to talk with you, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Right. Sounds good. Thanks.
All right, that's Brian Scalabrine, NBC Sports Boston. Color commentary on all these Celtics games. Next one coming up is Friday against the Washington Wizards down in D.C. And then on Sunday, they got a game I'm looking forward to against Minnesota as they venture over into the Western Conference, another game against a tough team out west. They haven't played a lot of Western Conference teams yet. In fact, I think the only Western Conference game they've played so far is Golden State. I think that's it.
0-1 in the West.
They're 0-1 against the Western Conference. So we'll see what they do this weekend against Minnesota. Not super looking forward to this Washington game. I feel like that's a bit of a layup. But yeah, Minnesota on Sunday, afternoon game at TD Garden, should be a good one. And Brian Scalabrine, of course, will be on the call. If you missed any part of that interview or our Adam Schefter interview, you can go back and listen to the podcast anytime. Just subscribe to WEEI Afternoons on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts. We got some Hall of Fame talk coming up here. Some Patriots on the Hall of Fame ballot have made it down to the list of 25. We'll get into that right after this. Ah, memories. Back when the Patriots were good and Adam Vinatieri was kicking game winners, Super Bowls, him and Ken Walter hugging each other. I can still see. I close my eyes. I can still see. It's unbelievable to me how many moments from that 0-1 run, if I just close my eyes, how long ago? 23 years ago. I can see it perfectly. It's really, you know, Ty Law running down the sideline with his finger in the air after he picked off Kurt Warner. Like, there's so many of those moments, and they're all very vivid still. I don't know what what that's about, but like.
They've been repeated time and time again. Every documentary, every whatever you
see. But
I have
been watching a lot of those lately, and I can still, you know, like for me, I don't have a great memory, but like every detail of that I can still remember, you know.
There are like, a lot of them. Like, I can think of. Antoine Smith high-stepping on the field.
Yeah.
Brady doing the, like, thing on his head, like, mm-hmm. the field goals, the interceptions. But, you know, I was obviously following it very closely at the time since I was working there. But
That was, like, right when you started, right?
That was my first season, like, full-time.
It's pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good first season to have there.
They've never won a playoff game without me in this era.
Wow. Wow, how about that?
They started winning there, and then I left, and Brady threw a pick six to lose.
Mm. Yeah.
So, Robert, you want to win, bring me back, put me on payroll again.
That was the last game I was at as a fan, was that Titans game. Was that Logan Ryan
high-stepping
back into the end zone there. The last time Tom Brady ever took the field in a Patriots uniform, which, I don't know, I feel like that doesn't get enough. The way that ended, we all talk about the way Belichick's tenure ended, and that was worse, obviously. I mean, getting beat by the Jets in a game with no touchdown. Well, there was a touchdown at the end. In a snowstorm that nobody was there. At least Brady got sent off. It was a playoff game. It was a packed house. Everyone was expecting him to beat this team. And then Mike Vrabel and, was it Tannehill? Was he the quarterback? I think Tannehill was the QB, and they beat him. And, it was a tough way for that era to end. Belichick had a worse send-off, though. Belichick's was worse than Brady's. Brady's was bad. Belichick's was like humiliating, you know.
And
like,
it was also non-committal. Yeah. You didn't even really get like a moment on the big screen
for
the few people that did show up to actually acknowledge him, anything like that. And Brady, the thing I remember most about that, and this is probably the negative part of me that comes out, is the whole stupid photo. The whole stupid photo for that stupid commercial that would come later in the Super Bowl. Is he walking into the stadium? Is he walking out of the stadium? Neither, you suckers. He's making money off your emotions.
Sure
he never cared for you. You were just pawns in his financial game. You were all suckers. He started a Tupperware party, and it was called TB12, and you bought bags of nuts for $40 and vibrating rollers and all these things you could buy on the internet for a third of the price, but because he stamped TB12 on it, you suckers all bought it.
Mm-hmm. And then he actually took your money in a crypto scam.
So, that's true.
There's he's been ripping you off for years.
Did you see the latest one of those? This just crossed my timeline today.
No, but I do know Bitcoin's doing well right now.
Oh yeah, it's huge.
I don't really get Bitcoin, but I do know it's doing well. And that guys who got part of their salary paid in Bitcoin have made like tens of millions of dollars.
Russell Okun.
Okun with this,
he got $10 million. It's now worth $45 million or something.
Good for him.
But no, it made its way across that is it pump and dump thing, the scheme where you can like inflate it, and then
one of the Walking Bet girl, not Lucy, but the other one, she got involved in one of those. Yeah.
So, and not the thing that mothers do. That's a totally different thing.
When they're lactating, right? Yeah, sure.
This is a different pump and dump. Some little fat kid.
Also, not the thing that Schefter was doing.
Yeah, not that either.
17 years ago, either. It's
different pump and dump, but
very
Some little fat kid did a live stream, and I don't know anything about crypto, but he somehow started a coin and.
Is this one of those Costco kids?
What's a Costco kid?
We bring the boom.
The boom to you.
I'm not those little kids. It's like a dad, a mom, and like these two little chunky kids.
Oh, no.
Go to Costco and they eat cookies and like rate the cookies and stuff?
This is just a little fat kid that's streaming with his friends that somehow inflates it to like 30K and then dumps it and takes. But he's like, he's so excited and he's like, he's this little fat kid that just realized he scammed the world. Now, I think you can go to jail for it. I think it's actually, there's some legalities in there.
Really?
But if we've reached a
for
world.
Doing a pump, I feel like that's the whole point of crypto.
Where some little fat kid can scam everybody. First of all, if you get scammed out of 30K by a little fat kid on his, you know, he's clearly in his bedroom. Like you can see it. Like he's on his laptop in his bedroom.
How old is he
streaming?
Like a teenager? 11?
Yeah, like
11.
He's,
not even a teenager. Okay.
I would say sub teenager at highest 13.
Okay.
Like not some, and not like a
I did not know about this.
Nerdy, geeky. He's just like a little chubby kid. He reminds me of myself when I was a kid, a little chubby kid who had would have no idea how to make $30,000 like that, but he did it and then he logs off immediately.
That's pretty good. Well, anyway, the Hall of Fame, which is what we were talking about here. The 25 modern era players have been named as semifinalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2025. There's a lot of names on here. Let's start with the Patriots on the list, and we'll go down the list, and we'll go just yes or no. How about that? Rodney Harrison.
Yes.
I'm a yes on Rodney Harrison.
And I've come around. I was always a little lukewarm. I think I'm falling victim to Bill swaying me because Bill has beat that drum adamantly.
Yeah. Bill is more. Bill wants Rodney in the Hall of Fame more than Schefter wants Kraft in the Hall of Fame.
Yes,
and Schefter really wants Kraft in that Hall of Fame. But yeah, Bill, he in the middle of the Brady roast starts talking about.
Yeah, didn't he say like I don't know how you can have a Hall of Fame without Rodney Harrison in it?
Pretty much. Yeah, he's all over that one. I was even before Bill said all that. I was for that too. How about Vince Wilfork?
I've been Homer lately. I'm just going to stay a Homer. Yes.
I'm a no on Wilfork. As good as he was,
no too.
As good as he was,
to the audience.
It's hard to get there with him. Adam Vinatieri,
absolutely.
I mean, yes on Vinatieri.
I don't know how he didn't get in last year. This is his second year, right? This is his first year.
This is his first year.
Okay.
As a semifinalist.
Yeah, he is a first ballot. He changed the game of football. Like you said, it. He forget just like the stats and the winning and the super. Like iconically, if you're going to put together, let's just say the 10 greatest clips in football history, his snow kick is in there.
Yep.
It's an iconic moment for a great player at a position that I think modern times is starting to value more or accentuate.
That's one of those remember where you were games, not just for Patriots fans, for everybody.
Everybody.
When that ball disappeared into the snow and you couldn't see it and you're like, well, what did it go in? And then you saw the refs go put their hands
up.
Everybody remembers that.
It's one of the more iconic moments in football history. So, yes, he's a hard yes.
Plus,
he's Jack now. You going to tell him no?
Vinatieri's Jack
ass.
Now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
I could take him.
Of course you could.
Take him to lunch, maybe.
He can beat Otters and Hall of Fame kickers.
Arcan versus three-way. It's like a Hell in the Cell match. An Otter, Adam Vinatieri, and me. We'll see who wins.
Sounds like one of those old death matches on MTV.
Celebrity death match. Yes, right. Except there's only one celebrity. It's Vinatieri.
Right. Well, the Otters could be famous.
I guess it could be a famous Otter. I don't know any famous Otters off the top of my
head. You're the jobber.
It's interesting that you say the stats, because Adam Vinatieri's stats... Like, Gostkowski had better stats than Vinatieri.
Yeah, but that's different. That's time-wise and all of that.
No, I'm saying, but, like, he was more accurate in the playoffs. He was a much more accurate kicker.
Take your accuracy, lube it up real nice, and as The Rock would say, shove it where the sun don't shine.
Okay, well, does that matter or not? I mean,
no, it doesn't.
You say stats don't matter at all?
Stats are for losers. Adam Vinatieri's a winner.
It's the Hall of Fame.
His foot created the category.
It's the Hall of Fame, Andy. You can't say stats don't matter in the Hall of Fame. Of course they do.
I can say whatever I want. There's no actual tangible criteria.
Gostkowski, 3 Super Bowls.
I don't care.
Multiple All-Pro seasons.
Don't care.
Was more accurate than Vinatieri in the playoffs.
How many times did Bill not kick in a Super Bowl because his kicker was Vinatieri? How many times did he not kick because it was Gostkowski? Multiple.
Okay, but when he did kick,
that
he was more. When he did kick, he was more accurate than Vinatieri. So what does that tell you?
Had no confidence in that guy. Or I shouldn't say no confidence.
He didn't have no confidence.
I went over the top. 15
years. Come on.
But if you could give him one guy, he's taking Vinatieri for Bill.
He does, but I don't think that necessarily disqualifies Gostkowski.
It does.
When he comes up, I think he's going to get some.
He shouldn't.
Why not?
He's a run of the mill decent kicker.
He
scored a lot of points because he played for a team that scored a lot of points.
Sure. Which means
the only reason he scored a lot of points.
But that also means he didn't have to kick as many game winners because they were up by so much. You know, like that's sort of the trade off, isn't
it? Doing this thing where you're making me say bad things about people I kind of like.
I like Gostkowski.
Why?
Because he was a great kicker, I thought. And he was very accurate. He's the most accurate Patriots kicker ever.
Can I tell you a pause-worthy great road story about him?
Absolutely.
So Paul Perillo and Andy are sitting in the hot tub at the team hotel.
Ooh, pause already.
Pause.
In walks Stephen Gostkowski. Okay, if I join you guys.
Hey.
Slides in. It was the strangest thing ever.
And you were like, no.
This is weird.
We're having a moment.
Yeah, I'm touching him.
Were you all nude?
No.
Okay, well.
Who goes into the hotel hot tub nude?
What's wrong with that?
I think it's probably against the law.
I mean, probably.
Jesus.
Well, whatever. I don't know. You said it was a pause-worthy story. I thought it was just pause-worthy that
Paul and I were sitting in the
A bunch of fellas just sitting in a hot tub. There's nothing wrong with that unless you're all nude, I'd say. That's all.
Okay,
and there's nothing wrong with that either. It's just that makes it a little more pause-worthy.
Move on.
Anyways, let's get to some other names on this list. How about Antonio Gates?
Yes.
I'm a yes on Gates, too. Not the best tight end of all time, but I'd say he's like in the top 3 or 4.
Wow.
Gonzalez, Gronkowski. I think Gates is right up there.
Yeah.
I know.
A little further down. Ditka's up there.
Ditka, I mean, I never saw Ditka play, so it's hard for me.
No, but you know what put it into.
Statistically, I think Gates probably.
I've always heard Ditka was great. And then I saw a thing today through 10 games. Why am I drawing a blank on the Raiders tight end out of Georgia?
Bowers.
Bowers.
Yeah.
The only person with more yards than Bowers through 10 games as a rookie tight end, Mike Ditka.
Interesting.
And that happened like 50 years ago.
Mm.
Wasn't the same passing game. Now they throw it to Bowers like 15 times a game. So that tells you how good Ditka was at a different era.
Yeah, certainly does. How about Eli Manning?
No.
A no on Eli Manning.
Not first ballot.
Not
just because you beat Tom Brady twice in the Super Bowl, you don't get first ballot. You goofy bum.
Would you put Julian Edelman in the Hall of Fame?
No.
No? Okay. Well,
I wouldn't even put him on this list.
Don't even think he gets this far in the voting.
If you had a postseason Hall of Fame, now we're talking.
Okay. Well, isn't that sort of what Eli Manning's here for? It's not like his regular season stats are all that great.
Yeah, but
they're
quarterbacks
good. They're not Hall of Fame good.
Quarterbacks, when you win multiple rings, like, it's kind of, you just got the key and they let you go in.
Edelman was a Super Bowl MVP, so I don't know.
And he's the third best slot receiver that this team had.
Behind Brown.
Behind Brown?
You put him behind Brown? I mean, Welker, I'd say sure, but I don't know about Brown.
Brown's only issue was that he arrived in the Brady dynamic a little too late in his career.
Yeah, it could be.
If you bounce that back a little bit, he started that whole slot receiver position fine.
Speaking of wide receivers, how about Hines Ward?
No.
No? No on Hines Ward?
No.
I think I'm a yes on Hines Ward.
Have you said no to anybody?
Yes.
You got Stephen Gostkowski and Julian Edelman there, and they're not even on the list.
I said no to Wilfork, and I didn't say yes to Edelman. I was saying compared to Eli Manning. I'm a no on Manning, too, by the way.
What did Wilfork ever do to you? You're putting everybody in, but Wilfork doesn't get in?
I didn't put everyone in. I just said no to Eli Manning.
That's just the Patriot hater in you. I mean, the fan, Patriot fan hater.
Who also hates Vince Wilfork, apparently.
Yeah, that's weird.
How about Marshall Yanda?
I'm going to say no.
No on Yanda. How about Ricky Waters?
I'm going to say no.
Ricky Waters has been a 5-time semifinalist. I don't even know that.
Yeah,
I thought he was in.
I liked him a lot, but I'm going to say no.
Okay, Fred Taylor.
I'm going to say yes.
I'm a yes on Taylor.
I like Fred Taylor. Patriot Fred Taylor, the Jag Fred Taylor.
Right, he's been a semifinalist many Patriot. Times. It's probably his turn to get in, I would say. How about Earl Thomas? Speaking of guys who had sex, Earl Thomas.
He had sex?
Remember that thing with him and his brother?
No.
Oh, well, may want to Google that.
He had sex with his brother?
He did not have sex with his brother, but... Oh. Him and his brother both had sex with someone at the same
time. Oh, that's a little weird.
It was pretty weird, yeah.
That is very strange. I think Earl Thomas is a Hall of Famer.
You do?
Yeah. I think he was, for a period of time there, the best safety in football.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And that's usually my criteria. I just do a simple, did I ever think the guy was the best? Like Marshall Yanda, I don't ever remember thinking Marshall Yanda was the best anything in football.
Hmm. Yeah, fair enough. How about James Harrison?
Defensive player of the year, Super Bowl. Yes. His
third time being a semifinalist.
Yes. Greatest play in Super Bowl history, or one of them.
That was one of the greatest plays
Unbelievable.
Ever.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And the guy really plays volleyball with a medicine ball. I don't know what that gets you in the Hall of Fame.
Does he?
When I watch those clips, he throws a medicine ball over the net and plays volleyball. It's weird.
All right. Two more. Steve Smith?
No.
No on Steve Smith. I'd go yes on Steve Smith.
See that story with Edelman that he almost got traded to the Patriots?
I did see that. I saw a clip of it. I didn't actually hear the clip, but I did see that, and that would have been great. Imagine him with Brady.
There's so many of those over the years.
Yeah.
The Jamal Anderson, he was on the practice field. The Barry Sanders. Like, they've been so close to so many other great players.
Could have drafted Jerry Rice. How about Luke Kuechly?
Yes.
Yes on Kuechly.
Yes.
I think I'm a no on Kuechly.
Whoa, Eagles fly. What are you doing?
He's a Hall of Very Good. I don't know if he's Hall of
Fame. What do you mean? He was a multi-time defensive player of the year, I think.
Was he multi-defensive player of the year?
I think so. That's what I'm going with. That's why I'm putting him in.
All right, let me
the criteria
let me look
in my
that
head.
Up. I was just going off the top. I'm doing fast answers.
And it was
here.
Cut short because he had the head issues.
Luke Kuechly was defensive player of the year once. He was a 5-time All-Pro.
That's a Hall of Famer.
And a 7-time Pro Bowler.
A half a decade he was.
And he was on the All-Decade team, too. I think All-Decade team is a good indication, which should. Gostkowski's on the All-Decade team for the 2010s, by the way. Just so
for the NFL or the Patriots?
For the NFL.
Get the 2010s.
He's the kicker on the 2010s All-Decade team.
Get the hell out of here.
Look it up. I'm telling you.
I'm going to look it up.
617-779-7937. There's your phone number. The Boston Celtics, who we were just talking about, had a big, big night last night. We're going to reset on that and talk about some other matchups for the Celtics that we're looking forward to as the season rolls on. They got Cleveland coming up again here very, very soon, December 1st in Cleveland. I'm looking forward to that one. There's a couple other ones coming up quickly here that I am looking at and am excited about. And I do think that with the Celtics, I don't know about their,
Aren't we doing Quiz with Stiz?
No, we're going to move that to tomorrow.
Right?
Yeah, that number one, that's at 5:30 when we go behind the glass. We're switching it up a little bit, but are we replaying Schefter Arcane as well?
Yeah, we'll have the Adam Schefter interview for you.